come to order. This is a meeting of the Watershed, Wetlands, and Buffer Protection Subcommittee, and this is the fullest room we've had so far, and hopefully we will be full of members up here as the bill progresses. I'd like to welcome everybody here who's here for the Soil and Water Conservation District's Day at the Capitol. We're going to be hearing House File 374, and since I am the author of that, I am going to turn it over to my vice chair, a display of bipartisanship. Representative Gunther will have the gavel, and I will present the bill, and we will try to go through this and make sure there's time for questions. I do want to encourage folks that there's a short lunch break that we have, and so you will see members that are coming and going throughout the day, and as soon as we do hit a quorum, we'll note that, and then we'll approve the minutes for that.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I assume you want to move your bill?
Yes.
Or can we do that before we have a quorum?
I can't do it. I'll just describe the bill, I think.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Rick Hansen, and I'm here today to speak on behalf of House File 374. This is a short bill, only a few lines, but it is asking for $2.1 million in each of the upcoming fiscal years for general services grants from the general fund to the Board of Water and Soil Resources for general service grants to soil and water conservation districts. As you may know, I served as a Soil and Water Conservation District Supervisor for 8 years prior to becoming a state representative, and know the value of general service grants and providing basic funding for getting the job done out in the districts. I have with me Judy Erickson, who's going to talk just a little bit of history and introduce. We're going to have three testifiers, Ken Peterson, Marilyn Bernhardtson, and Darwin Roberts.
Welcome to the committee. Give me a name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, my name is Judy Erickson, and I represent the Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Districts. And thank you for holding this hearing today on our lobby day. It's really a great boost of all of our members who are here at the Capitol. This bill that you have is for the most basic funding for soil and water conservation districts. It's the general services grants. And we have not advocated as an association for any increases to this program since 2001. And at that time, we lobbied for inflationary adjustment. And that inflationary adjustment amounted to about a little under $800 per soil and water conservation district across the state. So the districts have been doing well. Under the last few years of doing the deficit years at the state legislature, they have been piecing and working hard without any real additional increases from the state. And so we felt it was important this session, now that, well, I don't know what the revenue forecast will be or what opportunities there will be. We know you have a lot of challenges in terms of funding, but they did want to come forward and make the request to the legislature to increase the general service grants program for the soil and water districts. There are 91 soil and water conservation districts. So when you take this $2.1 million that we're asking for and spread it around all 91 districts, it really only amounts to $23,000 to $26,000 per district. So once it's spread around the state and every single district benefits, we're not really talking about a lot of money per district. We have our board president today, Ken Peterson, and also our legislative committee chair, Marilyn Bernhardtson, and Martin County Soil and Water District Supervisor Darwin Roberts, who are here to actually put a face on this issue and to talk about what it means for their districts and a little bit more for the program. So, yeah, this is a bank question.
Okay. Thank you. It's nice to see us Southern Minnesotans, former Southern Minnesotans, and some of the rest of us all get together. Freeborn County and Martin County is well represented. I would also like to have Marilyn Bernhardtson come to the table, too, because we do have somewhat of a time constraint, and we're hoping to get more members here soon. Welcome to our committee. Give me your name for the record, please.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, committee members, my name is Ken Peterson. I'm the soil and water supervisor from East Polk County, Minnesota, northwest part of the state. And it's an honor to be here to testify today. I've been a soil and water supervisor since 1978. I've been involved on the local level many years, as well as the area level. And this past December, I was elected state president of our association. And it's really been a great workload, so I appreciate the workload that you have. And thanks for the opportunity to testify today to this bill, House File 374. The Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts.
Can I interrupt you? We have a quorum now, and I'd like to officially call this meeting to order, sir. So, meeting will come to order. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you. The Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts is about 55 years old. It's a nonprofit organization. Our goal is to provide leadership for our districts with one voice to the districts in the state and to maintain a positive, result-oriented relationship and rulemaking agency partners and legislators, expanding educational opportunities for the districts so that we may carry on an effective conservation program. On behalf of the association, I would like to thank Representative Rick Hansen for his leadership on this issue and many other issues that this session related to our work. I also want to thank the other co-authors of this bill who are on the subcommittee, Representative Peterson, Doty, Gunther, and the 14 other legislators. We really appreciate your effort. Soil and water conservation districts began forming in the 1930s when the U.S. Congress responded to a large demand with topsoil eroding by wind and water erosion by enacting the Soil Conservation Act of 1935. Soil and water conservation districts were developed to involve landowners as well as state and local officials in the program created by this act. Local people, like me, elected to their positions govern the soil and water conservation districts and work in cooperation with state and federal conservation agencies. Today's districts carry much more responsibility than just soil conservation. Districts provide voluntary, incentive-driven approaches to private landowners for better soil and cleaner water in the state of Minnesota. We have a link between St. Paul and landowners to put conservation on the land. Let me say it another way. We are the local connection to delivery of conservation to Minnesota landowners. With financial and technical assistance from local districts, private landowners are implementing a wide variety of conservation practices, including they restore wetlands, planting shelter belts and buffers, preventing soil erosion, protecting our shorelines, and protecting lake water quality, and the list goes on. How do we do this? We accomplish this through a partnership of federal and local and state government. Our delivery and project activities are funded by the state for programs such as Cost Share and RIM, Reinvest in Minnesota. Federal funding through our partners are NRCS, Natural Resource Conservation Service, and local funding from counties for water programs, feedlots, and wetlands. General services grants to our districts are the base funding for the 91 soil and water districts. And that is why we are here today to talk about general services. The current funding, as Judy said, was $2.1 million for each year. That divided by 91 districts is about $23,000 to $26,000 each. The last time allocation was made was 2001. In fiscal year 2002, we received $100,000 and in 2003, $170,000. That's the base budget of 2.1. And at that time, each district got about $769. While no reduction or increase of these grants were made during the budget deficit years, we're asking you to consider an increase in these funds. The bill you are considering is House File 374 will provide a 100% increase. While this is an ambitious goal, when shared between all 91 Southern Water districts, on average, it's only $23,000 to $26,000 more. We believe an increased funding is critical for the daily operation of our districts. When I was first elected supervisor for East Polk Southern Water Conservation District in 1978, our equipment included a caterpillar and a scraper. And that's how we did our conservation work back then. We generated funds from this to operate our district. And during these years, we were hired by farmers to clear land, dig ditches, so they could farm their land. They wanted to farm their acreage. Remember the 70s? The government wanted us to farm fence row to fence row. Well, that's what we did. Times were good. We had fun. We had all kinds of money. Forward the clock to 2007. Of course, we are out of the tree clearing business. Wouldn't be very ethical, would it? We can't do today's conservation work with the same tools we used in the 70s and 80s. We continue to need funds to do our conservation work. Before I turn it over to Marilyn Bernardson to provide more details on general services grants, I want to let you know how these funds work in my local district. So for that information, I went to our annual plan from our conservation district in Polk County. And I'll just hit a few of the highlights of the things. Number one priority on our list is focus on surface water quality, specifically as it pertains to impacts on the lakes in the region, eastern part, and how it impacts on surface water supply in the west part of the county. Number two is reduce wind and water erosion within the county by actively working with landowners in areas being identified as erosion problems. Another one is to coordinate activities to make sure Polk County meets the requirements of the Wetland Conservation Act. Continue with the district educational and informational program. Continue to be designated county office in charge of county feedlots program as set forth at Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Report by e-link and publish and send out our Lake Leader newsletter. Promote and plant trees for landowners. And this past summer, the districts in the northern part of the state passed out disaster dollars in just a matter of days, a week or two, to our producers out there in a time of disaster. I believe who else could have accomplished that task in such a short a time? General services is important to Polk County and its landowners. In closing, Southern Water Conservation Districts were created to address the challenge of soil erosion. Our role has changed over the years, and new problems and issues have emerged. We now have a much larger role in helping the clean up waters. Looking at a couple of the bills introduced this year, it looks like districts will also play a role in bioenergy and reducing the country's dependence on foreign oil. We're excited about these opportunities and look forward to working with the legislature on these issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Give your name for the record, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Marilyn Bernhardson. I am District Administrator for the Soil Water Conservation District in Redwood County, and I am currently the Chair of the Legislative Committee for the Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. Soil and Water Conservation Districts have gone about their business quietly promoting the conservation of our natural resources since 1930. We have been conducting our business with modest budgets. However, in times of greater need, we need to continue to build our technical capacity to continue to implement the programs that will meet the needs of our landowners across the state. Districts have not only been able to work with state programs, but we have been able to leverage funds from federal farm programs so we are able to get more conservation on the land. As Mr. Peterson said, general service grants provide the state's base funding to the Soil and Water Conservation Districts. This is not an exciting program for our offices to implement, but it's an essential one for the SWCDs. General service grants allow us to deliver a broad, effective private land conservation program to the citizens of Minnesota. They provide us with some degree of funding stability so we can hire and retain high-quality staff. They help us also meet the increased cost of health care for our employees and the transportation expenses as we travel across the county, meeting the needs of our landowners in the county. What kind of outcomes can the general services give and provide and deliver? At the Redwood Salawata Conservation District, I will mention a few of the activities that we are involved with so that utilize the general services grants that we receive in our county. One of the programs is educational programs. Implementation of the Wetland Conservation Act, whether we're issuing an exemption or whether we are issuing a replacement plan. We develop annual plans work, similar to what Canada's passing around. And what in that annual plan, we must identify the erosion problems, the sedimentation problems, and the water quality problems. And then we take the annual our annual cost share allocation, which is another program, where 70% of the funds that we are allocated must meet the high priority that we identified in our annual plan of work. We're able to participate in USDA NRCS's local work group. We continue to monitor our Reinvest in Minnesota program, and just the past several years, we were able to, and fortunate enough, to implement the Minnesota River Basin CREP program. As a result of these activities, and along with many other programs that the Salawata Conservation Districts implement across the state, some of the results that were reported for fiscal year 2005 include: we were able to leverage $7 million in the federal and landowner resources. We installed 3,218 best management practices, resulting in 136,000 tons per year of soil loss reduction, 101,000 tons per year of sediment reduction, and 199,000 pounds per year of phosphorus reduction. Along with that, there were 71 feedlots upgraded across the state of Minnesota that resulted in 6,160,000 pounds of phosphorus and the elimination of phosphorus discharge. And you ask me, how do I know these figures? Because of the accountability measures in place and the reporting that the Board of Water and Soil Resources requires the Salawata Conservation Districts to do. The reports that we must do are included in e-link and annual reports in the local water management planning. So in closing, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I would like to thank you for the time, and we appreciate the consideration that you are giving for our request. And I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time. Just one note is that you do have a handout that explains the entire program to you for the general services. I believe you have that handout in your packet.
Any questions, Representative Coffey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure who can answer this, but I'd just ask everybody. When you look at the bill, starting on line 1.9, when it talks about leveraging other local, state, or federal funding, is that something that's already lined up, either at the at any of those levels, or is that perspective? I mean, is there something that's not stated in the bill where there's money available or ready to be used out there?
Ms. Branson.
Mr. Happy and Chair, yes, there are, like the Clean Water Legacy Act, there we have the opportunity to utilize those funds. There are also dollars in the federal farm bill that we have leveraged, like I had mentioned earlier, in 1995 we were able to leverage $7 million. And we are hoping that with the new farm bill there's going to be many other opportunities that soil and water districts will have to leverage, such as the Environmental Quality Incentive Program, the WIP program, and other programs. So yes, there are many programs out there that we are able to utilize, and not only within the Salt Water, but within DNR and other entities besides that.
Thank you.
Any questions? Representative Ansel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for being late.
Oh, I do too, by the way.
You're both excused.
Seems I'm late all the time.
I'm not all the time.
Maybe I shouldn't ask my question. I see 2.1 million in 08, 2.1 million in 09, My first question is that an upper, or is that level, or is that a donor?
Ms. Bernstein,
Mr. Chair, that would be an increase. We are currently getting $2.1 million now is our allocation, and we are asking for an increase in $2.1 million. And that would be in fiscal year 08 and in fiscal year 09.
Thank you. And that is to be divided among how many?
91 Saltwater Conservation Districts. Because we are located across the entire state.
Yes.
So there's 91 of us.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members? Thank you very much for your testimony. Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Chair, maybe I would move the bill.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I would move House File 374 to be laid over for consideration in the Board of Water and Soil Resources budget.
Very well. Welcome to our committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and other committee members. I'm Darwin Roberts from Martin County, and I got a note that Bob and I were from the same area. We're both Martin County boys, but I'm here today to share with you some of the highlights of what our county does. I decided to present an overview of, we're one of the 91 districts, and I'm a supervisor, elected official, of course, for the county. I'm a farmer, lifelong farmer, so I maintain the benefits, I guess, from both sides. So I want to share with you really what the mission statement is for our county. Each state, each county, or each district has a little different statement. But ours reads, and this is well thought out, of course, it's our mission is to assist land users of Martin County in effectively utilizing the soil and water resources of our county. The district will assist land users in increasing the productivity of the cropland, pasture land, woodland, and urban or small city areas while maintaining the soil base, the water quality, tree production, and wildlife. That's a lot in one simple statement, but that is the mission, really, of soil and water of all 91 districts. To familiarize yourself a little more with Martin County, we're right on the Iowa border, along I-90. We're kind of halfway between South Dakota and Wisconsin. And as Representative Gunther mentions periodically, we're kind of home of pork production. We are number one in the county, or the state. We're number two in corn production and number three in soybean production. Our land mass is about 464,000 acres, and of that, we do farm about 95% of that, or about 420,000 acres. So, as you can see, we're pretty much all farming land. Our ancestors at one time described it as this, a waving prairie of grass, marshes, and sloughs, and not a tree as far as you can see. I'm a fifth generation landowner in our county. I'm one of the first ones in the state to be privileged to obtain a century farm, and now my son and grandson and children live there, and there's seven generations of us that have kept Martin County productive, and I guess we're proud of it. But things have really changed from the time the prairies took place. Today we have over 200 public drainage systems in our county that are involved in four different minor watersheds. This actually consists of 189 miles of open ditches, and many of them need buffers. And some of you are aware that there's legislation pending here now dealing with buffers, and rightfully so. All bodies of waters need the buffers. The other concern we have, and we try to maintain and work with all the landowners, and that is our massive amount of drainage that needs to take place. We have thousands of miles of underground tile. The issue here at hand is that many of these drainage ditches that were put in are all in the 1920s and 30s. And so they've served beyond our ancestors' expectations, that is, many of them 100 years already, but they're beginning to fail. So we have to maintain a organization such as Soil and Water that our landowners can come to, obtain assistance, work with programs. We have to, of course, maintain our water. Fairmont is our county seat, and Martin County, even with all the ag land we have, we're still blessed with 149 lakes. Many people think northern Minnesota, that's the place to go fishing, but Martin County does have 149 lakes, over 10 acres in size, 53 of them are over 100 acres in size. Fairmont is unique in the fact that we are one of the few cities, Fairmont and Mankato, the two that I know of, that draw our water from open lakes. We utilize surface water. And that does present a share of problems. And so we do a massive amount of water sampling and working with erosion problems. So basically our county consists of about 17,000 acres of shallow euphoric water basins. That is high mineral type deposits, low in oxygen. I guess we feel strongly in the fact that we are an agency that we do obtain our funds from a variety of different sources. They've been mentioned here earlier today. The thing I want to put across is that we do not, on our own, have the ability to levy any of these dollars for our programs. So we're here today asking for funding, some additional funding. We take pride in the technical people that we hire, and as you know, medical expense, everything else goes up, and we need to provide them with a comparable wage and other programs that we can maintain the kind of leadership that we would like. We do work with our counties, our county commissioners. They do pay a large portion of the administrative budget for SWCDs. The one thing I need to share with all of you is that every district, the 91 of us, we do have a different operational type plan and a different budget that we work with. Our overall budget is over $400,000 a year. That's just our local budget. Then we do all the leveraging. In fact, in last year, we leveraged nearly $6.5 million in federal funds in 2004. $200,000 of that was state funding. In 2005, the county, that's our local commissioners, and their dollars are tight, just everybody's houses are, they provided us with about another $125,000. So quickly, I'm going to go through with what kind of programs that we're able to offer our landowners, the people that farm this 420,000 acres in Martin County, do with the benefits that we get from these general service monies. So I'm going to quickly go through, understand that funding does come from federal, state, and local, but here's a brief run through of what we've just accomplished here in Martin County. I might add that I'd like to pass this around quickly. We also maintain and do write a water plan, which is mandated through the state, through Bowser, and this is our third water plan. I've been part of it from the beginning. One of our technicians is the co-author of it, and ironically, the other main person, Linda Mischke, is now an elected supervisor. She's starting her first term. So this is a scoping document listing all the priority issues that we have concern, and these priority issues, I may say, are coming from the general public. I'll quickly name the six or seven that were identified here through a media source, both at our county fairs, newspapers, so on. Number one, and this is our county people now, was impaired waters and total maximum daily loads, TMDL. We're hearing that as a buzzword all the time. Second, drainage system management. Third, to promote the use of BMPs, or best management practices. Fourth, wetland protection and restoration. And this is where your SWC's CDs do a tremendous job. Water quality in area lakes. And obviously I told you why. Fairmont does draw all of its drinking water. We're about 12,000 people in the community. 20,000 is all we have in our population, our entire county. And also to promote low impact development. And that is, we have these lakes. They are shallow lakes. And we did just zoning and planning and zoning just passed some excellent requirements in conjunction with DNR. I don't want to go there right now. But, and finally, the last major issue was groundwater. We are in an area where we have two brand new ethanol plants going in, one in directly in the city of Fairmont, one 6 miles away, and also within that same area, we now have 14 ethanol plants within a 75-mile radius. Am I happy? Yes, I am. I'm a corn producer. Am I happy with that much saturation? I don't know. I do not know at this point. There is water concerns. I did testify last summer here at MPCA on the issue, but I guess time will tell. I feel that our organizations are being very restrictive and policing the situation at hand. Quickly, I know time is an element. These are the things that we offered our landowners in Martin County this past year. In the general sign-up of CRP, we had 1,632 acres. We have continuous CRP programs. We have 5,306 acres. And so that gives us a total CRP in our area of almost 7,000 acres. We installed a massive amount of filter strips. We had 165 contracts, which was about 1,500 acres. We have did some tile intake alternatives, and 36 of those, we removed one. That is to remove the intake in your road ditch, your field, and fill it with a rock basin so you don't have that direct intake of pollution. We worked on best management practices. We did cost sharing, and we continuously do this for abandoned wells. We have done extensive amount in windbreaks and shoreline development. We work with a RIM program. We've got about 300 acres involved in there. And some of you may or may not know, Martin County is in the Greater Ruth River Basin watershed. That's our biggest portion of the county. Our western sector is in the Des Moines River shed. But we also were the first area to enroll in the Conservation Security Program, CSP. Some of you have heard that. So we have, in 04, we enrolled 75 contracts, more than anybody else in the nation. Today we have 102 contracts, and we're still adding to those. We do minister, work with feedlots, and we do numerous education and outreach activities. So that all obviously takes money. I guess, you know, both Ken and Marilyn have expressed a different aspect of the general service grants, but we do need the increased state funding. And as we met with Representative Gunther earlier this morning, I feel strongly that our current agricultural practices are on the verge of major changes created by our country's thirst for renewable energy. I sincerely see it, you know, mushrooming to where we're going to go. And yes, I've even went from a 50-50 corn-soybean ratio, a rotation now to a 60-40. I don't know if it's the right thing, but with $4 corn and other commodity increases, and I think too we're going to be removing cellulosic fibers, switchgrass, whatever, from our rim acres, our CRP acres, and or even our crep acres. So we have a lot of work to do out there, and we do need your support and the staff to carry it out. So I do ask you to endorse Representative Hansen's bill, HF 374, and with that I thank you all, and if you have any questions.
Representative Dennis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sitting here puzzling, as you suggested that groundwater was something you all were thinking about, and what you all might be doing coming up, recognizing that you have 14 ethanol plants, and that I'm guessing each one of them draws a substantial amount of water.
Yes, that is correct, and the Renewable Energy Task Force as a whole is looking at the overall usage of water in that industry, and technology is advancing rapidly to where the experts in the area feel that ethanol production may become water efficient or proficient, and where they will actually provide more water. Right now, very little water is actually wasted from ethanol production. They do draw a typical plant producing 40 to 50 million gallons of ethanol will draw roughly a million gallons a day. However, all that water is encapsulated, never comes in contact with anything. It just flows through the pipes, through the cooling towers, through the evaporation towers, and thus goes into our atmosphere, which then condenses, comes back down with rainfall. The industry as a whole is looking at evaporation collectors, which would reclaim a large portion of that water. The concern that we're dealing with and the monitoring that's involved is because all this water that's obtained from the ground, from the aquifer, the Prairie du Chien aquifer, and in our case, one of the best in the state of Minnesota, goes through a filtering process. So of that 1 million gallons daily, 200,000 of it is the flush or carries away the mineral deposits of filtering. And so this is adding some high concentrated levels of which is normal minerals, water minerals, but it's in the concentrated form. So the other approach, and yes, it's being looked at and may reach that point, is utilizing wastewater from your cities, municipalities.
Representative Leeds.
Let me be a little more direct with my question here. If you're taking this much groundwater out of Prairie du Chien, this drinking water, and we don't know, I don't think yet, if what we're doing is sustainable. But my more immediate concern is the folks in the county who drink well water. Because when you're moving that much water, you could be pulling things into their well that weren't there, or moving things away. And so I guess I'm thinking about families. Do you all have a program for checking those wells?
Representative Williams, I think I can answer part of that. And that one of the plants built in Martin County is a zero discharge plant. What they do is they recycle water, then they take the mineral salts or the stuff out and landfill those. So we don't discharge any highly mineral content water back into the environment. And another thing that we are doing is we're looking at when they did the test well pump, when they pumped the one for the Fairmont ethanol plant, 1,547 gallons per minute. it a quarter of a mile away reduced the water in a well 1/2 inch right after 24 hours of pumping at that rate. Representative Deans.
Okay, but it's because it's reducing the rate is not the basic question here. As the water is pulled underground, you're pulling other waters in, and my real question is, how are you dealing with that? Because you had one that was, you know, in the loop. You have many that aren't. Is the county looking at this? And maybe this isn't part of your agenda, but here, this is what you all brought up. What's happening to those individual wells in terms of quality?
Are doing extensive monitoring.
That was my question.
And then in the permitting process, which I must say is very restrictive, and we're kind of getting off the subject here.
But this is basically the things we need to look at.
Right. The hydrologist and the geologist did a massive study. All this went on for several years as to drawdown and as to the water quality that you're talking about as to having the effect. And at this point, our experts in the field are very confident that there is no problem. The drawdowns did not affect, they went out with a 1 mile radius and did it once, and then the concerned citizens said, they threw up red flags, said, wait a minute, we're not really satisfied. We went and did a second study.
On quality?
Yes.
And what did you test for?
I can't answer that. I was not part of the permitting process.
That'd be interesting to find out.
Out. I'll get that to you.
Any other questions?
Any other questions? Seeing none. Representative Hanson.
Mr. Chair, I just want to ask Mr. Roberts, you mentioned $400,000 was your annual budget. How many FTEs do you have?
Mr. Roberts.
Can I ask our district manager that question? Oh, I'm sorry. When you say, oh, yeah, we have five employees. I didn't know what you were referring to.
FTEs.
That's okay.
Full-time employees.
Seeing no further questions. Excuse me. Representative Singleton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if we're still going to talk about the bill or we need a direct question.
You can ask a question at anything you want to.
Wow.
I'm not promising an answer.
What's the winning number on tonight's lotto? No.
Tomorrow night.
Okay, that's right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hanson, I'm just looking at the bill here, and I appreciate you bringing this forward. And I just have some questions, and I don't know if this was covered. I apologize that I came in late, too. But my main question is about on line 11, where it says, this program shall be indexed to inflation. I've never seen that in legislation. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Mr. Chair, just a little background on where these dollars come from. This appropriation, which is not in the governor's budget, this appropriation is essentially doubling the allocation to general service grants. The last time that the soil and water conservation districts came to the Capitol was in 2001, and they asked for inflationary increases at that point in time. So it's really been a number of years since there have been inflationary increases given, and we've been the districts have been holding at their levels that they had then.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Tingle said, when we've added this because when, for example, the agencies come in for and have their bases are adjusted by a percent, a base adjustment, those base adjustments don't transfer to this grant program. So, for example, in 2001, while state agencies and Bowser's up, some of their other programs were adjusted for inflation as a part of the governor's base change levels, this program was not. So in future years, this language would allow, when there are base adjustments being made across the board, to this program having an automatic inflationary increase so that we don't have to come and ask the legislature for inflation.
Representative Tingleston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, Ms. Erickson, I appreciate that explanation, but you know, I sort of view this as tying the hands of future legislatures, and you know, normally we don't do that. I mean, I understand the merit of the program, and I believe it's a good program, but isn't there another way of doing this? I mean, Ms. Erickson, you've been around here for quite a while. Any tips on, or maybe this is the council here, for how this should be written?
Mrs. Erickson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Tingleston, we'd be open to suggestions on how to address that aspect. Because, again, the problem that we are trying to address is that when agencies receive base adjustments through the governor's program across the board, this program does not receive an inflationary base adjustment. So we're trying to get into that. When there are base adjustments made to all state agencies, that these dollars get adjusted as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Further than, you know, based on the word inflation, I mean, it kind of brings up the questions of, is it based on to the consumer price index, price of government? You know, we have various local and national, statewide inflation rates, so.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Tingleston, I apologize, but I don't know what the Department of Finance uses for inflation, so we'd be working off of whatever the standard is, I guess.
Can you find out what they use and get that back to the committee? Okay.
Mr. Chair, just to quickly follow up.
Representative,
thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry to put you on the spot here.
That's okay.
And you know, maybe council can enlighten us on this somehow too. But then I'm wondering on line 10, maybe this is to Representative Hansen, to leveraging state dollars. So it looks like you're allocating state dollars that would be able to leverage state dollars. And again, I've never seen this in legislation.
Mr. Chair, Representative Tingleston, one example of state dollars that this could assist would be putting reinvest in Minnesota projects in the ground, RIM dollars. In terms of a direct, both DNR and Bowser have, I think, working lands initiatives that we've heard about in Representative Wagenius's committee. So trying to, we have the dollars that may come from the state, this helps pay the people and help put them in the ground. So that's one example on the state dollars. On the federal dollars, there's actually a more direct, I'll use one example, the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. The federal requirement changed in the last Farm Bill to be a 50% match or 50% cost share for actual dollar. Landowner pays $100, they're going to get for a conservation practice. The federal government may pay $50 back in cost share. What this can do is leverage the state cost share dollars to pay 25 more so that the landowner is getting 75% cost share. Not directly from this dollar, but again, having the person to put the project in the ground to make that cost share work.
Can I have one further? This is my last one, really.
Promise?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My 15 years of editing experience prior to being a legislator is coming into play here. I'm looking at the words general service grants, and then you have this wonderful fact sheet here that describes general service grants, and it lists staff, office space, expenses, utilities, and compensation. And then the language of the bill seems to just define general service grants as basic operations including staff. So I'm wondering if that including staff needs to be there because you're already saying it's general service grants, and I don't know if that's defined someplace else in statute.
Mrs. Erickson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Tingleston, the additional language on lines 1.8 through 1.11 were included so that people would have a general understanding of what these grant what these funds are used for, that it is basic operations of the district, and we didn't want to include a whole list of routine kinds of activities because, frankly, it's not exciting and it's harder to sell. What we do want to sell is the fact that these grant programs, this grant program provides the foundation at the district, and if you have a good foundation in the district with good technical staff, highly qualified people, you can then leverage all these additional state and federal dollars, and those are dollars that do programs on the ground, and we don't want to use those dollars for staff. We want to put the programs on the ground.
Representative Dumas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As just listening to the testimony, I'm somewhat puzzled because this is a little out of my area, but this is soil and water conservation. And I've heard a lot about soil conservation and measures of soil conservation, but I haven't heard anything about measures of water conservation. What measures do you use for water conservation?
Jason, or whoever. Welcome to the committee. Give your name for the record, please.
Sure. My name is Leanne Buck. I'm the Executive Director for the Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts. Mr. Chair, Representative Guineas, when you're saying, could you repeat the question? I just want to make sure you're measuring.
Okay. The money appropriated here is for service grants to soil and water conservation districts. I have heard a lot about measures of soil conservation, but I'm trying to pin down some measures of water conservation that we get from these monies.
Okay. When I look at that, probably what you're getting at more, Bowser, the Board of Water and Soil Resources will probably be more be able to answer that question on a technical capacity. But what we see as soil and water districts, we're required to report our conservation practices through the E-Link system, which is a web-based system. It has some modeling components to look at the reduction of phosphorus, the reduction. So we don't get into the quantity of water necessarily. We're focusing more on the quality and some of the TMDL requirements. So again, the monitoring and the E-Link and the modeling that takes place with some of those reduction practices.
Representative Dumas.
Nonetheless, these are water conservation districts, and so I'm looking, particularly after listening to the testimony from Martin County, I don't hear about water conservation measures. We're expending a lot of water, so I'm looking at for what measures we use for outcomes for water conservation, not quality, but conservation.
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenius, if you look at the focus of districts, and I think this is another emerging issue, the programs that are given to soil and water districts to work on, the majority of those are not into the quantity of water conservation. When we do have some resources in the planning process through local water planning, but the majority of the work that we do that have been given to the districts through the state to allow has been the Wetland Conservation Act, RIM Reserve, cost share. Majority of those outcomes are based on quality, so there hasn't been a lot of programs directed to the districts for them to do on the regarding the quantity of water conservation.
Representative Means.
Have you asked for help with water conservation measures?
Mr. Chairman, sorry. Representative Virginius, the soil and water districts, in some cases do the water, are the water planners in the district, so they implement the state water, local water dollars. Soil and water conservation districts are involved in wetland restoration. Soil and water conservation districts are a part of the whole Clean Water Legacy Act implementation. So the piece that soil and water districts play in terms of water quality is the contact with the local landowners. That we have one piece of a much larger puzzle in terms of water in Minnesota.
Representative Guineas.
Nonetheless, I see when we talk to Minnesotans, we say we are giving money to folks to do water conservation. I mean, that's what this says, water conservation. And my expectation is that there would be a some concern about water conservation and some measures of water conservation. So that's what I was looking for, and I'm just not hearing them.
One thing I know from taking tours with the Martin County Soil and Water Conservation District, they do very much enhance the water quality. Quantity, I think we are certainly doing things to providing riprap from stream erosion, which will increase the quantity of water. And quality water, there's many filter strips being planted, and there also is some Minnesota Department of Agriculture water testing equipment testing the waters constantly in various creeks in Martin County. So we are, as I said, primarily looking at the quality, but there is some measures of making sure the quantity is not restricted in any way. And Representative Hoppe.
I'll pass, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions from members? Seeing none, Representative Hansen removes this motion to have House File 374 be passed and be put in the committee bill. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Representative
Step. Mr. Chair, I just have a general question. I'm assuming our visitors today are Soil and Water Conservation District people. I appreciate them being here. I don't see my local people from Anoka County, but they visited this morning, and one of the items that they mentioned was trying to be able to have a local levy authority. And in my county, it would be about $3 per household per year. Do you know if there's a bill on that, or is that being discussed somewhere here in the legislature?
Representative Tingle said, I think the process that the association used was, rather than try levy authority, which they had tried the last several years without much success, was to try for the general services grant increase rather than the levy authority. They do have, still a standing resolution, which I authored when I was Soil and Water Supervisor seeking levy authority, they go through a prioritization process and tried to go with 374. So I don't know if Ms. Buck or Ms. Erickson, maybe you could just nod their heads on that. That's what happened.
Thank you.
I would take a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
So moved.
Hoppe moves. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Minutes are approved, and it is 1:30. Is there anybody else from the audience that wanted to testify? I want to make sure I provide that opportunity if there's anybody else that wanted to testify. I'm sure if you haven't met with us, you're going to be meeting with us. We do have one.
I just wanted to maybe, Mark Schnobrick, McLeod Soil and Water Conservation District Supervisor. I don't think you quite got the answer you wanted. And
we come to the chair. Yeah.
And I was just sitting there thinking that when water doesn't run off the land, when water doesn't run into a ditch, when trees are not there to receive that moisture, when buffer strips are put in, that's water conservation. And to quantify that is sometimes hard to do, yet we all kind of know when the sun shines it's warm, and when soil goes in the ground it's being conserved. And I'm thinking that maybe it might help you understand what some of the practices that the Soil and Water Conservation Districts are doing. Hopefully maybe that would help clarify some of that.
If I could, Mr. Chair.
Representative Gaines.
I understand those things.
Hmm.
But what I was looking for is some measure, because we are measuring for outcomes when we give money. We're measuring for outcomes. These are water conservation districts. And I haven't heard anything about conserving water. And the reason I'm worried about this is because I think, in general, we don't know whether our drawdowns are sustainable. We don't have the geologic mapping that we need in Minnesota. We just haven't done it. And that it may turn out that groundwater is one of the most precious things we have. And we're not seriously looking at that issue yet. And until we have some measure of what we're doing and some concern for it, you cannot manage what you don't measure. That's what a business school will tell you. And we need to start to be measuring that in Minnesota, because the groundwater, particularly the Prairie du Chien, is our drinking water. And we're looking up here in the metro area and seeing that we're getting some chemicals in that same groundwater that we may say to kids, can't have you drinking that anymore. We're not, so Minnesotans, we've been water rich and we've not been paying attention enough. So I understand what you're talking about, water uptake, but that doesn't get us far enough yet. I think we need to go further.
Another justification for continued funding.
Very good answer.
If, of course, there are measures that say that the funding is producing the outcomes that the expectation is, because this is for water conservation. And so if my residents or city residents in the metro area are going to pay for this, I think they're, which is okay, but they're going to want to see that they're real outcomes.
I am a rookie chair, and I do need to make a correction. We have to reconsider that motion.
Yes.
If not to pass, because we're not forward this on to another committee. So, Representative Gunther?
I will move that we recall House File, reconsider House File 374 to be laid over.
First, we'll have to reconsider it.
So first, reconsider.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. 374 is before us. We would
lay it over for
further consideration.
Further consideration.
Possible inclusion in omnibus
bill.
Okay. Representative Gunther moves that. Any discussion? Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. 374 is laid over for possible inclusion in the bill. Any other questions or discussion? Meeting is adjourned.